Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
And God wants all of his children to be on fire for him and all of his children to walk the walk of faith. And here's the beauty of the gospel of faith. None of us have done it perfect. None of us will ever do it perfect, but that's where grace comes in. When we walk with God and we stumble, wherever we're at, God's like, hey, I'll give you fresh grace today to start all over again.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. If we really want to be effective for the kingdom of God, we need to be willing to grow, not in stature, power, or even knowledge, but in faith. And today on Brave, Pastor Jeff takes us deeper into the book of Hebrews to prove why faith is key to our walk with God. We're in a series simply called The Greatest, and you can find each of these daily programs at bravemedia.online. But right now, let's join Pastor Jeff for today's lesson from the book of Hebrews titled, Faith is Key.
This entire chapter in chapter 11 is going to be dedicated and devoted to what faith is and how faith works. And chapter 11 sometimes is called the Hall of Faith, where we look at what faith is, how faith is applied, how faith works, how faith worked in the life of others so that we can be motivated to continue on our journey in faith. We're going to take a look at five elements of faith today that can be helpful to you in your journey with Christ. Oblige me today by opening up to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read through the first six verses today. And as I do, then we will highlight five elements of faith that God makes very visible to us right from his word. He says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through him, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And here in this text, in these six short verses, we really see what it looks like to have a faith life and what some of the elements of faith are. And so as we take a look at five elements of faith today, let's take a look at the first. And that's this, that faith firmly believes in what cannot be seen with great hope. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, what is assurance? Assurance is the substance, it's the elements, it's the exact representation of faith. Faith is the assurance of what we hope for. In this world, we need hope. Right? How do you have hope in this world, right? We have hope in this world because of what our faith is put in. It's so important that we understand that because we live in a world today where feelings tend to drive everything we do. Here's what I would encourage you. Don't trust your feelings. Trust the truth of God's word. Faith firmly believes in what cannot be seen, but not only does it believe in what cannot be seen, but with great hope. I have great hope because of what the word of God says, and I have great hope because the longer I apply it, the more I see that the word of God is true. Faith firmly believes in what cannot be seen with great hope. Secondly is this, faith firmly believes your personal witness matters. Under each covenant, old and new, faith is the essential key ingredient to what God recognizes. We're going to read in verse 6 that without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. But here's why it's so important. Your personal witness matters because sometimes here's what I find in church. We like to go to a church that's considered faithful. But here's what God's saying. Are you faithful? Right? Because it's not, are you around faithful people? That's great. But are you being faithful with what God has entrusted to you? God has entrusted special things to each and every one of you. Some of you specific gifts. Some of you are relational. Some of you have the ability to earn money. Some of you are good at math. All of us have different strengths. All of us have different weaknesses. And guess what? Our Creator God made you just the way He wanted to make you so that He could entrust to you certain things in this generation, in this season, so that He could be glorified. Here's the question. How are you stewarding everything that He gave you? See, this is what men of old gained approval for, was their witness. The words you want to hear when you meet Jesus face to face are this: well done, good and faithful servant. Everything God entrusted to you belongs to Him. Here's the question: how are you stewarding that? Let me give you a third. Faith firmly believes God's word is trustworthy and authoritative. God's word is trustworthy, means I can trust His word, and His word is authoritative, which means it's in charge of everything in my life. We as Christians need to hold on to the word of God and say, no, you can say whatever you want, but we're gonna hold on to this word and we're gonna believe it with all we have because the word of God is trustworthy and true. It's authoritative. It represents who our Lord Jesus Christ is, and we will not for any reason change one jot or tittle of this book or dumb it down or water it down or apologize for it, because this book is glorious, revealing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. Faith believes this. When we can't see it, we believe it with great hope. We believe our personal witness matters. We believe God's word is trustworthy and authoritative. But here's the point. Number four really highlights it for us, because not only do we need to know the truth and clap for the truth and say, brother, preach it, I love that you're saying that. Faith also firmly believes applying God's word is necessary. Faith, real faith, that has been given by God in His grace results in good works. If you've truly been saved by grace through faith, it will produce in you a desire for good works. You're not saved by your good works, but you are saved for good works. Many of us refuse to apply the word, and we wonder why our faith is not working. It's the application of the word. Faith says, I heard it, I'm working on doing it. That's what faith looks like. It's belief into action. And so what He's gonna tell us, He's gonna tell us about two men. We're going to hear about a lot of different people as we go through this chapter, but notice this. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we learn about this offering. We learn about their worship, how serious they take their worship. Basically, whatever happened, Cain was just gathering, yeah, I got some leftover stuff, I'm farming, God, here you go, you can just have some of this. Whereas Abel says, I'm gonna give you the firstlings. I'm giving you the best that I have. And by the way, how did he present them? Dead, so there was a blood sacrifice. He's like, I'm giving you a sacrifice of what is my best so that you can know how much I care about you. There was a sacrifice in his worship. There was a desire to do something that cost him something to show God how valuable he was. The application of the word of God is what we miss in our culture. It's not the worship of God. I mean, for Abel, he desired it. He wanted it. He sacrificed it. It was the opposite of convenience. His life was a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And because Abel lived faithfully, it says his life is still speaking. Notice what it says. Though he is dead, he still speaks. He still speaks. I mean, here it is over 6,000 years later, and we're still talking about Abel's faithfulness to God. We read about all the faithful servants we're gonna read about in chapter 11, like Moses and David and all the others. They still speak. When you live a life that's faithful, your life still speaks. Faith leaves a legacy for people. And faith is not for a select few to leave a legacy so we can talk about them. So we talk about Billy Graham, and we talk about those like Charles Spurgeon. We talk about John Wesley. Faith is so you live your life in such a way that those who know you are still speaking about the glory of God in your life when you go. It's a legacy. It starts with your worship and how central your worship is. Then he tells us about a guy named Enoch. He was seven generations removed from Adam. We don't know a whole lot about him other than this. He didn't die. He went to heaven. Why? Because he not only had a worship, he had a walk. He had a walk with God. Walk is an intimacy with God. Apparently, Enoch's fellowship was so strong that God just took him. The Holy Spirit tells us that God took him. Nobody in the Bible argues that God took him. I mean, you would have thought, like, I don't know, my dad went hunting today. I never saw him again. Everybody knew God took him because he was pleasing to God before he was taken. And he lived in a generation that was rebellious. And we know that he was a preacher because the half-brother of Jesus, one of the half-brothers of Jesus, Jude tells us in Jude verses 14 and 15 about Enoch. It says, it was also about these men that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I mean, he preached to ungodly people about the need for repentance. That's what he did. And he was so faithful that God found it in his grace just to take him home. What a walk, right? Do you have a fellowship with the Lord? Do you pour out your heart before the Lord? Does the Lord know you? Do you know him? Are you intimately acquainted with the voice of God through his word? Like, God wants to talk to you about each and every subject in your life. There's nothing that you need to hide from God. I mean, we live in a culture that's this Christian conference culture. And I'm not against Christian conferences, by the way. I'm not. Sometimes you can hear things from a different speaker or a different group of people that can be helpful in your growth with Christ. And that's fantastic. But there's some Christians that pop from conference to conference to conference to conference to big festival to big festival. What's next? But they're never rooted. They're just looking for somebody else to tell them what they need to do until they disagree with that person and then go to another conference. Why not just pour out your heart before the Lord about what you need in your walk with him and to tell him what you're disturbed about and what you're unhappy about and what you need to know about certain areas in your life. See, it's the application of God's word that's necessary. When you hear the word today, what's God asking you to do? What do you need to start doing differently? What do you need to stop doing? What do you need to just pause for a second and just receive from the Lord that he's telling you, hey, I'm proud of you? Or you need to receive from the Lord of, hey, I'm not happy with the way you're doing that. I mean, what do you need to hear and what do you need to put into practice? Because we have far too many Christians that love to quote the word without actually living it. And quoting the word's great. I mean, Jesus quoted the word to the devil, and the spoken word has power. But it really has power when you're walking it too. And I'm not talking about walking perfectly. I'm talking about walking in Christ increasingly. A desire to do what he wants to do. How's your application of the word? I mean, you happen to go to a church where the word of God is going to be proclaimed. There's so much of the word that you get to hear on such a regular basis that even if you had just applied some of it, you would continue to grow in your faith. And God wants you to continue to grow. And that's why the word of God is so important. I mean, we talked about the word just a little bit earlier, but you know, people are always like, well, that's just made up by men. It's not made up by men. Men would never make up the Bible. I mean, what book in the self-help section talks about how awful human beings are all the time and how desperate they are? I mean, this book is replete with there is no one good, no, not one, not one righteous. You are dead. You are going to hell. You offended a holy God. Deal with it. I've never seen that book sell well, but the Bible's the best-selling book of all time because it talks about the glory of God and his grace and his compassion and what he did to make us right with him. So that once we come to Christ and we can continue to apply Christ in every one of our circumstances in our life, we can bring Christ into our singleness and into our marriage and into our job and into our schools and into our families and allow Christ to transform us by his grace so that Christ is living through us in a way that's palpable, experiential, and that those around us know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? So let me give you a final one. Not only is applying the word necessary, but faith firmly believes that seeking God pleases him. Seeking God pleases him and results in rewards. Results in rewards. Oh no, Pastor Jeff, you're talking about prosperity gospel. No, I'm not. I'm talking about God. Listen to what the word says. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you listen to what I'm saying, you're like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to believe without seeing. It's impossible for you to please him. Why? For anyone who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Well, I believe there's a God. That's not what it's talking about. You must believe that he is according to what his word says. Anyone who comes to him must believe who he is according to what his word says about him. Not that you believe there's a God, even the demons believe that and shudder. You must believe that he is according to the revealed word that he's given to us. Do you believe that? And then that he's a rewarder of those who diligently do what? Seek him. We falsely believe that faith is passive. If God wants to save me, I guess he'll just save me. No, if you don't repent and turn to him, you're not gonna get saved. Well, I guess if God wanted me to go into ministry, I guess he just let me go into ministry. If you don't pursue Christ, you'll never be in the ministry. I mean, every story in the Bible that we love involves the seeking heart after God. For I know the ways I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans for hope and a good future. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We love the story of the prodigal son. The younger son wanders away. We know the father's standing there looking for him. But when did things get reconciled? When the son came to his senses and started to seek the father. He came back to his dad. That's why Jesus said, come to me. All of you are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. We don't like to seek God because we don't like other people to know that we're weak. We have problems in our marriage. And here's what we say. I'll work on it. How's that going for you? It can get worse. No, it can't. Oh, yeah, it can. Your singleness can get worse. I mean, when you get humble enough that you don't care what anybody else says and you hear the Father say, come, and you're like, I don't care who knows. I don't care who sees. I need God. You watch him pour out his grace. He rewards those who seek him. We love the story about David slaying Goliath, cutting off his head, miracle upon miracle, because Goliath came at him with sword and spear, but David came at the giant in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Why? Because Psalm 27:8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, oh Lord, your face I will seek. David was a seeker of God. When you seek God, when you want God and you want his face more than you want his hand, and you're just going after him saying, God, I'm yours. My life is yours. Everything I have is yours. You will see God do amazing things in your life. It's hard to get to that place. I'll be honest. I'm still working to get to that place. It's not a place that we arrive at. It's a place that we're journeying towards. There's seasons in my life where I feel like, Lord, I don't know if I could give you anything else. I think you have it all, only to continue to live and realize, oh, you want that too? I didn't even know I had that. I didn't even know my attitude was bad there. I didn't even know I was holding that back from you. I just didn't know. I'm always on a journey seeking the Lord because I know he wants more from me than what I've given to him. And when it comes to what God wants for your life, here's what I would say. The counsel of others is great. The Bible tells us that having a plurality of godly counsel is good. Nothing wrong with that. That's actually a healthy thing. But at the end of the day, when it comes right down to making a decision, stop listening to others and listen to Jesus. If you're gonna get married, you don't need five people telling you who to marry. You better listen to Jesus. What job to take, it's good to get counsel, but at the end of the day, you better listen to Jesus. How to steward your money, it's good to hear what other people have to say, but better listen to Jesus. When it comes to your singleness, you better listen to Jesus. When there's fear or despair or uncertainty, you better listen to Jesus or where to live or what house to buy. I mean, there's nothing you can't bring before the Lord. And what I've found over time is when I'm willing and humble enough to come before the Lord on every little decision or every major decision and say, Lord, what do you want of me? That in due time, God shows me what he wants of me. I remember when I was in college, I was starting to feel a tug towards ministry. And we were at a conference one time, and I was watching a video. When the video ended, I was bawling, but I tried to wipe my eyes so my friend next to me wouldn't see that I was touched by the video. It was so old. I mean, it was basically slide projection with music underneath. I mean, that's how long ago it was. And he's like, what did you think of that? And I was like, that's pretty good. And then I told him, I was like, oh man, bro, I don't know. I think God might be calling me to ministry. And he's like, I told you, I've been telling you, bro, you got to do this. And I was like, get away from me. So he went and got our Campus Crusade for Christ director, who read to me 1 Corinthians 3, that I would still be saved, but I would lose all sorts of rewards, which didn't make me feel good if I didn't go into ministry. So I went up to our hotel room to get away. He followed me in. He kept saying, bro, you got to make a decision. I mean, Jesus is talking to you. What are you going to do? I'm like, get away from me. So I went into the bathroom and knelt down by the toilet in Indiana in this hotel, and here's how I prayed. Lord, I'll do anything you want with my life, anything at all. I'll preach, I'll teach, I'll help you out, but I am not going into full-time ministry ever. Amen. And I got up confident that I had settled the deal. But every day that I began to walk with the Lord, I just kept feeling more and more empty. And even when I did really well in my job, I just felt empty. And I wish I wasn't selling people stuff. I wish I was sharing the gospel with them. And over time, I got to a place where I went to a church on a Monday and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. Just show me what you want me to do. And God showed me, Jeff, I've always created you for this, so that you can tell other people about me. I'm like, Lord, I'll do it. I'm there today. And I felt peace like I never felt peace before. See, it doesn't mean that every time you get fired up for the Lord, you need to go into ministry. It means that when you get around the Lord, you listen to what he uniquely wants to do through you and how he wants to use you, because you're fearfully and wonderfully made and you're unique and you don't need to do it like anybody else in any other way. You just need to do it God's way in and through you. And as you walk that out, God will show you what it looks like, and he'll always show up in just the right way. About 2 years before my wife and I moved out here to plant this church, I told her in her house one day, I don't know what God's doing, but I know how he works in my life, and he's stirring something in me, and I know in 2 years we won't be doing what I'm doing now. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I honestly don't know, but I think there's a shelf life to what we're doing. And about a year later, it became clear in my heart that God was saying, you need to plant a church. Now, the challenge to that was I didn't want to plant a church. And the challenge to that was I'd already told my wife when we got married, I'm going to be in ministry, but don't worry, I will never, ever pastor a church. So she said, you told me this. And I'm like, I know I told you this, but God changed his mind apparently. And so we began to pray about it and got to a place where I'm like, if we don't go, we're not going to be obedient. And questions came, genuine questions like, well, how are we going to get paid? And where are the people going to come from? And how do we market for that? And if we don't have a building and we don't have people and we don't have money, like how does this thing work? And I was really clear to her on how it was going to happen. I told her, I don't know. And God's going to do it. And so we're going, because I knew in my heart that's what God was calling me to do. And if I didn't do it, I knew I would stand before him on judgment day and I wouldn't be able to give an answer for why I didn't do what he was prompting me to do in that season. And God's been faithful all the way through. And God's still faithful all the way through. And God is speaking to you about things. And you don't need to be like anybody else. You don't need to do things like somebody else. You don't need to become something like somebody else. All God wants to do is fill you with his Holy Spirit to the full so that you can be the best you that God ever made you to be. He didn't make anybody else but you. We don't need another me, I can promise you that. We don't need another person next to you, I can promise you that. We need the best you that you can be. And God wants all of his children to be on fire for him and all of his children to walk the walk of faith. And here's the beauty of the gospel of faith. None of us have done it perfect. None of us will ever do it perfect. But that's where grace comes in. When we walk with God and we stumble, wherever we're at, God's like, hey, I'll give you fresh grace today to start all over again. It's not too late today. If you're in your 80s or 90s and you've never trusted Christ, start right now and trust him. If you say, well, I knew when I was 20, I was supposed to do this and I never did it, start now. God responds when you seek him. God's willing to talk to you about anything. Embarrassing things, joyful things. He'll celebrate with you. He'll mourn with you. Do you know him like that? He's more than just a glorious God and Savior. He's the Lord Jesus Christ that you can have a personal relationship with. Amen?
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today we're concluding a message titled, Faith is Key, part of our ongoing study in the book of Hebrews that Pastor Jeff has entitled, The Greatest. If you've missed the first two segments of today's message, or you'd like to revisit what you've heard and perhaps share with a friend, visit us at bravemedia.online. And if you'd like to hear these Brave Bible lessons while you're out and about at other times, perhaps going for a walk or taking a lunch break, download the Brave Church app to your mobile device for easy listening on the go. Just open the App Store on your phone or smart device, search for Brave Church Denver, and tap the download button today. And if you're ever in the Denver area, we would love to meet you in person right here at Brave Church. You can join us for weekend worship services at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster. And if you're listening from elsewhere, you can join us through our live stream. You'll find details to attend or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Just head to the bottom of the homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have questions or encouraging comments to share with Pastor Jeff, maybe a message that's impacted you in particular, reach out today by email, hello@bravechurch.co. Again, that's hello@bravechurch.co. You can also message us or leave comments on our social media pages. You'll find us on most platforms when you search for Brave Church Denver. And don't forget to click the subscribe or follow button while you're there. And that's all our time for now. I'm Bill Carl, inviting you back tomorrow for the start of a brand new message titled, The Challenges to Faith. Pastor Jeff will be carrying on the theme of today's lesson about faith, addressing some of the most difficult challenges we're bound to face as we walk our journey with God. Don't miss this important message of biblical warning and wisdom next time on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.